lot of vigorous struggle, and then, you know, they put one man within a village who, you know, used to beat his wife. They, you know, tried to kind of, you know, give a trial to him until he confessed that, you know, that's my fault. Do you see that kind of, or any form of?
The Confucian family was never strong in Vietnam as it was in China. Vietnam, in that sense, is more part of Southeast Asia than it also, with that, if anything, they have the opposite effect. But Vietnam, culturally speaking, in that sense, in terms of family forms, is more, has always been more a part of Southeast Asia, where women have had a greater role in the family. And there's always been more of a kind of nuclear relationship in the family, a conjugal couple relationship. Whereas in China, the clan and the patriarchal family have always been extremely important. However, Vietnam was colonized by the Chinese for 1,000 years, up until 1000 AD, and always looked to China for as a kind of culturally superior entity. And during certain periods of Vietnamese history, after 1000 AD, some were more Confucianized than others. So there was some, Confucian impact on the family. And during the revolution, there were similar cases as in China, where there were ways of addressing the question of the patriarchal family. But it was never as intense as it was in China.
You had some questions.
I remember I remember Cardinal Spellman, asking us to pray for.
Exactly.
The Catholic Church was very strong in Vietnam during the 60s.
Well, the Catholic Church in the United States was part of the Vietnam, so-called Vietnam lobby, which helped provide the support for Diem, and helped really to install him as a dictator in the South. Diem, in fact, spent a couple of years in New Jersey, going to Catholic seminary there.
I know, and there was advocacy for them, from him, for the regime, the churches, and the Catholic schools.
Right, and of course, Kennedy himself
around the time of the Dien Bien Phu, wasn't that? A friend who was...
Praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition was part of some Catholics, about part of Stroman, but that push was there, the collecting of money, the praying, and the support, and the political advocacy.
And don't forget the JFK was a Catholic.
Uh-huh. It was really, we got some. The other thing is, now, did you see when you were in Vietnam, are they doing tourism now?
They are doing tourism.
I cannot believe it.
It's possible to take a tour to Vietnam for $2,500.
Wait a minute, one year they're fighting, killing each other, next year they're running a tourist agency. I mean, this is, some Vietnam vets I know were telling me about this. They don't want to go back there, they really, but they said, I can go to Vietnam for so much money. And tour and bring my family. I guess some of them are going back, but the friend of mine said,
I think some of them are agonized by their experience.
Yeah, maybe they'll go back, but I said tours to Vietnam.
And it's not just vets, but other people are taking these tours, educators.
So vets are going to get a discount.
And teachers, U.S., they're going to get a discount.
Finally, they're getting something.
I was just going to say that there are a number of people who teach about Vietnam and the war in the United States, a lot of them have been going back on tours.
Is it beautiful?
Yes. Maryland is
I
took a tour.
I saw pictures recently, because all I saw in the 60s, they were killing, bombing.
It was very beautiful in the 60s, too.
Yeah?
It is a beautiful country.
It was all war. And then recently I saw these come to Vietnam and then at these beautiful, quiet, that's Vietnam, that's the way I saw it in the 60s.
Lin Lab is even taking tours in Vietnam. in that trial.
Well, I think in relation to tourism, one important issue in feminism is the sex tourism, especially in Asia, Southeast Asia, and South Asia, and also the prostitutes, you know, where everywhere the U.S. bases are, there are prostitutes, in addition to the local prostitutes, which is very important. And in Korean case, because of the U.S. Soldiers, there are prostitutes who, you know, have relationship with GIs, and, you know, many of them come to the United States and get divorced and, you know, all sorts of crimes or difficulties here also. But what happened to those prostitutes in South Vietnam after?
There were centers that were set up by the government for job training and other types of rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I actually visited one, but quite a long time ago. It's hard to say exactly what kind of results, you know, have occurred from these centers. But at least there's been a massive government growth. Mm-hmm. And in the midst,
there is no longer prostitutes.
There are prostitutes. It appears there are more in the south, in Ho Chi Minh City, but there are also some in the north. The Swedes have a paper mill project, building a huge paper mill, and from what I've heard, that there's a kind of a section around the paper mill where there are Vietnamese women who are serving as prostitutes. Paper mill. There's a big paper mill project.
A factory.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of Swedish development workers that have come to build the factory.
Both Sweden and Finland are very developed throughout the world for creating mills to make paper. So they go in and they set up, they build the actual mills, and they train the local people to use the mills to produce paper. Very common.
Yeah, and
it's true in China.
I just wanted to know the relation, the government's attitude towards women's movement. Just then you said that women's movements are still very strong right now. So what I want to know is whether they are autonomous.
No.
Yeah.
The women's union is not an autonomous organization. It is there to serve as a conduit for the party. And
It's the same in China.
One of the interesting questions about prostitution, taking it out of the realm of industry, I mean, in Bangkok there is essentially a sex industry, and sex tourism is highly developed, and it represents a considerable percentage, I don't know what percentage, of GNP, but it is certainly substantial.
Yeah.
And there are literally thousands of prostitutes who, when they get organized, I think possibly the question to ask there is, what are the means by which these women can organize themselves for a better deal within this industry, rather than to, at this point in time anyhow, think about how to eliminate it. But a curious question, or the question, one question about prostitution, in places after quite Puritan, communist revolutionary movements have come to power, is its persistence given any opportunity. Prostitution has re-emerged in China, which I think I would have bet would be the last place in the world.
But under desperate,
I could imagine.
Under desperate economic?
No, it's not desperate.
No, it's not desperate.
No, it's only better. It's a better, it is, you can get better money as a prostitute than as a very low level unskilled factory worker. And for a long time, in the situation of China being closed, this was not a growth sector in the economy, but now it is. And you can get a job and you can do better for yourself and your family. One of the questions is, to what extent are women, do they own themselves to rent or sell themselves? And to what extent are they under the control of a man who is prostituting them?
Which is usually the case, which is very often the case.
I just think that when we start talking about prostitution in Asia, the first take is to be simply upset, and that's fine. But then after that, there are a series of questions to be really asked and thought about. because it's a varied industry like any other. And there are questions really to think about in relation to it, especially as it re-emerges.
Yeah, well, in case of Korea, before revolution, I don't know whether we will ever have a revolution or not. But anyway, a prostitute, especially those who are involved in sex tourism, for example, over 80% of the tourists are Japanese.
To Korea as well. Oh, it's like Bangkok.
It's all over Asia, I guess, by Japanese male tourists.
Yeah.
And usually a prostitute get 1/5 of the money the tourists spend as a, the money for the girl.
Right.
Yeah. And the tourist agency gets some, the travel agency gets some, the hotel gets some, the big restaurant where, the girls are hired for the kissing party, they get some. And the pimp,
it's really institutional.
Yeah, it is institutional.
But that's
and
not
there's
the
a whole, support system by the state. For example, the Ministry of Education, when he went to Japan in 73, I guess, he had an interview with a Japanese magazine, and he said that, well, these prostitutes are patriots because they are earning the hard dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's support. And often college professors go to the restaurants where these girls are hired as 500, some hire as many as 500, and they lecture them, you are doing patriotic job for the country.
Versus?
And so,
is there any anti-sexist tourism movement among Korean people?
Well, in 73, a bunch of Ewha Women's University students, my school, went to the Gimpo Airport picking, against those tourists. And in response, the Japanese women, they got organized and they, had a demonstration at Haneda Airport also. And there has been growing awareness, and also Church Women United it published a survey report about those prostitutes, especially those involved in sex tourism, and what are the exploitation systems.
You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about prostitution in China. Is it restricted to certain areas of China, and how is
it's more urban than rural. It's more in the special economic zones than it would be in the in regular cities.
What's a special economic?
Those are parts of China that have been opened up for in which foreign trade and investment is very much encouraged, and special breaks are given for foreign trade and investment. And the notion is that this will be it's part of China's economic reform, the network of reforms that were introduced starting in 78 and that continue now, and which are, Vietnam is also adopting some cut of those, and some people might argue that Gorbachev's restructuring even owes something to the Chinese example, but I wouldn't push it that far. So yeah, it is in some areas and not others, but it is very much disapproved. I mean, one difference might be between between South Korea, Thailand, and Vietnam and China is that in the case of Vietnam and China, there is no government official would say you're doing great things for the country. It is upsetting. It's considered a social problem. There are various explanations for its reemergence, some reasonable and some a little bit off the wall. But still, there's an effort to explain it.
Is it also punished in China?
Yeah, it's against the law.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, I'm sure it is also against the law, but I don't know what
I've
the extent to which
I've never seen it written as such, but it must be.
Certainly in China it's against the law, but it would be nothing like, in Bangkok it is absolutely open, it is part of the tourist package, and advertised as such.
As it's Korea.
And
but it is against
Korea
the law.
Too?
Is it against the law?
Yeah, so
there is a
periodic police raid of the prostitutes.
Yeah.
But those prostitutes who deal with the tourists are special, know, they are protected. They go to, you know, the regular sanitary examination.
Is it as big in South Korea as it is in Thailand? As in Bangkok? It's really big.
It's usually hidden, and there are certain districts, like, you know, in front of the Cheongnyang-ni train station. Mm-hmm. And before, it has been the whole area of the main street in downtown Seoul, one of the main streets. But now it's more like as a form of restaurant. And usually, it's a Korean style restaurant, big restaurant house, and ordinary people do not go in there.
Yeah. And that's.
So it's hidden from the people's eye, except the local prostitute area. And the local prostitute, if you pass by, you know, then the woman will, you know, just pull your arm and, you know, have a rest. You know. So even when the male goes with a female, goes with a woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Punch her out. It's illegal here too, but they will allow the woman. I was worried about AIDS. It's AIDS.
Oh, AIDS is going to be a
scared.
It's the main concern in Bangkok and in prostitution area, and the government's or I mean authorities' reaction about this tourism and AIDS issue is just letting them have these all this prostitution business and. Let them also have some care about AIDS, like, you know, let them use condoms or all those really conservative way to deal with AIDS issue. And they're not going to stop this prostitution business for
in a country like Vietnam, something like AIDS would be absolutely devastating because there's so little money for health anyway. And they have to spend it on kind of, you know, preventative programs or educational programs or whatever. So perhaps there's some hope there that that the AIDS epidemic can be contained.
Well, China, from what I understand, is starting a program of checking any people coming in or students.
Yeah,
isn't that
they
made
it?
Was
but yeah. Actually, it would become. I'm not that sure in terms of the program. AIDS, but in terms of the problem about sex disease, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, right. Yeah, this kind of disease has been, you know, diminished after it's believed that after 1949, but now it has become a problem again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this part can show that the industry of prostitution. Perhaps we can use the word industry, but it's a problem.
In China, it may not yet be an industry, right? So cottage level or maybe even putting out system, so to speak. Yeah. But what the, do you feel, looking at the experience of other countries and other movements, that in the case of the Korean women's movement, its connection with movements for broader social reform retain a clear-sighted feminist grasp of the issues with respect to women?
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, do you think that that's sort of very much a part of the consciousness?
Yes. And until 1970s, 60s and 70s, well, 74 was the year that a group of women got together and they issued a declaration of human being as women,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then during the rest of the 70s, there has been growing awareness of women's problems from the perspective of sexism, feminism.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a whole bunch of other middle class conservative women's organizations which was basically has been doing programs for the advancement of, you know, women's status.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a sharp division after 1980s that those conservative women's organizations just, you know, they do all kinds of, you know, courses, classes, candle making, you know, photographing all kinds of middle class women's hobbies. things, and sometimes lectures. And on one side of this movement side, there has been, you know, more awareness about feminism. And I still remember in one of the seminars that I was in 76, we have been discussing whether, which has the priority, democracy or women's issues. And, you know, there has been debate, and our conclusion was we cannot separate it, as two issues. It should go together. And we cannot guarantee that even if we achieve democracy, it will not guarantee women's issues be solved. Mm-hmm. So there has been a clear sense from the start within the movement circle that this should go together. But from the workers' movement during the 70s, for example, the Estonian textile workers had that kind of, severe ordeal. It did not start as a female consciousness because their survival was the immediate, issue. Mm-hmm. But in that process, because they experienced that whenever they have a kind of strike or, those labor movement activities, they have been crashed between male and female workers. And it has been male workers which tried to suppress those female co-workers. Mm-hmm. And they were usually bought up by the company, as I told you. And, there has been all kinds of horrible stories, like 78 Hete confectionery company, when they had to struggle for their 8-hour work, which lasted about 8 months. And only, female workers joined that movement, and the male workers were, hired by the company, and, they greeted the female workers when they finished their work and went home. They were wearing the greased gloves, and then they just, put all the grease onto their hands, and they beat those female workers up. And there has been all kinds of, it's really horrible stories. So there has been confrontation, and also the female workers feel and could see that there has been sexism in the workplace also. And usually the male workers are the superiors, and even if they are co-workers, there has been low talk and all kinds of harassment and physical violence. So in that process of their struggle for their better working conditions, their consciousness as women grew up, and that is why there has been separate association for female workers. While they cooperate in the laborers' association together with men, but they felt the need
that association. The Association of Korean Female Workers was founded in 1981. 87.
March 87.
And this is non-Christian. I mean, this is not.
No, it's not non-Christian. It has been founded by the active women leaders in the past.
So it's by union activists.
Female union activists. Some of them are married.
Yeah.
And usually the female worker's dream is because of the work is so drudgery. I want to get married and get out of this horrible situation.
Right.
But they realize that, what else? They can marry only working class male.
Right.
And if, the whole situation, if they cannot fight the sexism, because usually it's male dominated, and they, have to spend their, most of their time into child rearing and housework, and, if you do not fight against the sexism, you cannot really change your situation. So there has been whole, awakening of consciousness within middle class women, within working class women, within world class women, as you see in this cartoon.
Yes, who drew those cartoons? I meant to ask you what the source of the cartoon.
Yeah, this is from an article which was published in one of Asian theologian magazines, and the woman who wrote an article. These cartoons were inserted in that article. And she was also involved, and she went into the prison. And I don't know who actually drew.
But it appeared in a women's magazine, did you? I'm sorry.
An Asian.
It's published Asian theologian, but I cannot cite the exact, I should get.
I love this one on the bottom.
Yeah. So, you know, there is a clear understanding what brings the whole oppression to the farmer as a whole. Mm-hmm. And then within that, they also see the, you know, women's problem. And that applies to whole other areas. Rural women, poor women, working women, middle class women, of course, do not have this economic oppression. But there is just, you know, awareness in the whole area. So that's why they put political struggle, because they do, if they do not fight the import of foreign agriculture, right, which, you know, right, is the main cause of economic strain, they cannot really elevate the rural women's positions. So it's a double fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you're objecting. Yeah. You talk about the move here, some talk about a fair trade, balance of trade, so
because,
Americans can have the same rights in some of the Pacific Rim countries for trading.
Well, that is a whole different issue, because the United States has been losing the trade war against Japan.
You're
in trouble. And that pressure is coming to the more small countries, Taiwan, Korea, and Singapore, and, you know, so that there has been great pressure since the last half of last year to open Korean market toward American industries.
That was one.
Yeah, and cigarette is a big one, and there has been, you know, more pressure. So now the government agreed to open Korean market to American cigarettes. And they even urge, we don't advertise. There's no cigarette commercial on TV, because the cigarette company is a monopoly by the government. So there is no need. And now the American companies are putting, American government are putting pressure that there should be a commercial on TV, and they also put pressure to lower the price of the cigarette, you know, pack of cigarette, which gives a lot of impact to the rural farmers who grow the leaf for the cigarette tobacco, you know.
Why do we make tobacco?
We do not import. And it applies to meat. Many times we import American meat from, as well as from Australia. Rice is one of the big items, and there has been all kinds of scandal involved in terms of rice importing. And so Korea is victimized.
Is that what you're
saying? Yeah. And so there has been stages of demonstrations by the farmers, farmer's side against those. And recently, about 3 weeks ago, there has been five college students who went into the American Cultural Center in Seoul to express their opinion as kind of anti-Americanism again. And among the five, one was the EBA student, one was a female. And they are all now in prison. And two more was charged as manipulating in behind the scene. And it's a real big issue now.
So Korean farmers organize and demonstrate against importing American agricultural products.
Mm-hmm.
And American industrial workers make every effort to organize and to express their resentment of the import of Asian manufactured goods.
Uh-huh. Well, while they are building factories in, you know, other parts of Asia. And
so the multiplying of contradictions is
From the worker's point of view, I think there should be real solidarity and, you know.
Well, that's not happening. That's the problem, and that's really what's part. You know, I could say, we lost the, how many? 11 GM plants. 30,000 employees, and they opened up the plants in South Korea. And our people, American workers, are talking about this.
We're losing. Yeah, and I saw that one of
some people was talking protectionism. I guess that's a no-no. But what some of us are saying is, how about fair trade? Now, you know, I don't trust what goes on here anymore. I mean, I'm looking at this. But I know that we're getting hit hard, and so people are talking about fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard
I think that issue of fair trade should be related to the fact that a lot of multinational U.S. companies are making money out of Korean laborers as well as in other parts of Asia. And I heard that one GM company manager level person saying that if you have a strong labor union activity, we will move our plants to Korea or to other countries.
Oh, yeah.
So they are using it as
a way of suppressing.
Yeah.
I know, when Korea gets really strong unions, those plants are going to go to Vietnam,
I saw that they would do that. Our governor of New Jersey wanted to give tax abatements for New Jersey plants. We thought that was great, until we found out they were moving these plants they were talking about were not in New Jersey. They were in Taiwan. I said, why are we giving tax abatements to workers in Taiwan? I couldn't even hear. No. Absolutely not.
Ah, but the use of your word worker is what's deceptive. They're not giving tax abatements to workers.
To the factory.
To whom?
And
to the owners.
And all going around. And now Korean Gold Star company, which makes Gold Star TV, are building factories in the United States.
Yeah.
As well as Japanese factories. So it's...
Well, I mean, we all realize that what's an issue is the internationalization of capital, but not of the proletariat. That is the situation we're all in. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, this is a fitting note to conclude on, because that's a woman's issue.
Oh, yes.
At least as much as it is anybody else's.
So.
I want to thank you. I've learned a great deal from both speakers and from the questions. And I've certainly enjoyed the session. And I'd like to thank you.
We're going to do one in China
next year.
Next year, he's talking about the 11 GM plants and 30,000 American employees. They're opening up in South Korea.
It didn't go on again.
No, it finished, and then it needed new tape.
Oh, so.